This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
Well, there's all the things that we love about each other, and there's all the things that we know about each other that we have to overcome in a game like this. He's a great coach, he's a great man, great leader, and he's got a great football team. So that makes it complicated.
Thank you very much, John. Thanks. Now with Jim Harbaugh, here is Laura Rutledge.
Coach, you told us no one has a better brother than you. What are you feeling as you prepare to coach against your best friend?
I love my brother. I'd lay down my life for my brother, but I would not let him win a football game. And he wouldn't want it that way. Yeah, it just feels cool. Feels cool. We're ready to have at it.
Edge Ravens, John Harbaugh, they get the win, 30-23. They were down 10-0 in the game. Herbert and the Chargers got out to a fast start, but did not get the victory. And that's that. Baltimore looking 99% to make the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
There was a hot minute there where, hey, could they? Their schedule's tough. Could they drift?
Yeah, I never took that too seriously.
Yeah. They're 8-4 now. The Ravens are 8-4, and their next game is the Eagles. Like, if they lost last night, now that's 7-3. You lose to the Eagles, that's,
yeah,
you know, or whatever.
And the Steelers, who are 8-3, so actually half game up on the Ravens, they played the Bengals this week in Cincinnati.
Big one for Cincinnati. If the Bengals lose this game, the Bengals' playoff odds go to?
Oh, they got to be like 2%, right?
2%.
2%? Yeah. I was going to say, they got to win. They have to win all of them, don't they? They can lose. They can drop one, but it might depend on what the one is.
Well, they play the Steelers twice. They have to beat them probably twice.
Okay.
And in between, it's Cowboys, Titans, Browns, Broncos. So
does it matter? Like, if the NFC game is the loss there, then maybe that's a little more likely for them. I don't know. They don't have much. They don't have much margin for error.
No. Their playoff chances right now are like 10% as it is, Cincinnati. So anyway, good morning, Jeremy and Joe. Josh Schmidt producing here as well. The three of us yesterday. So we'll take some calls on this if you want to ask us a question. I want to just tell you what we did yesterday because we had a chance to tour the new Bills Stadium. That's currently being constructed, the new Highmark Stadium. You know, the one with the cranes. That one.
Yeah.
Imagine if we just toured the current stadium.
Yeah.
I've been through here a bunch.
Uh-huh.
But a chance to look at the new stadium, you know, taking the construction, the lift. That's what was different. So last time we went through this, you weren't there for the last one.
Mm-hmm.
Last time we went through, there was not an upper concourse yet, I don't think. And it definitely didn't have canopy over it. Now there's canopy. Mm-hmm. Like, you can see the stadium and at its top.
Yeah.
So we went up in a construction lift all the way to the press box area,
yep,
where you'll start to see all this stuff come together. And it's still mostly what you're looking at is concrete and steel and
insulation,
you know, yeah,
on the inside. Yeah.
Yeah. Lots of bones and all that. But we got all the way to the top of the press box, walked around the upper concourse, the lower concourse, onto the field, through the locker room areas.
Yep.
And the scope of this thing, like, it's just, it's wild. It's like a city itself.
Oh, the scale of the project itself, I feel like you can't really comprehend unless you're like walking around and just, oh, there's three workers doing this over here, and I walk 5 more feet, and then they're doing something else down here. I mean, it did a city. That's the right way to put it. There's a city just constantly working on it in every corner of the stadium, doing something different.
Even walking around, it's like hard to comprehend the massive amount of work that's being done in one small area at all times.
I think the biggest takeaway I had from being there in person is really getting the feel of what it means that every seat is like on top of the field. You know what I mean? Like how close it is to the stadium as opposed to the current stadium, where if you're in the upper deck, you do kind of feel far away. Like you're pushed back a little bit versus this one where I never felt like I was far from the field, even in the upper deck.
Yeah.
Like, it's still, like, it kind of feels like it's right there, isn't it? And maybe that'll feel different when there are 50,000 people below you, but that was a crazy.
Yeah, even those last seats, like, in the upper deck, there aren't seats there. It's just, like, rows of precast concrete where we can walk. And there's one point we're standing in the upper concourse on the upper deck, the 400 level, I think is what it's going to be called. And I'm looking behind me thinking, there's not that many rows behind me. This is pretty much as far away as you'll get.
Yeah.
And it does not feel like it's very far away at all. So,
no.
Intimacy is going to be one word here that you'll use for a stadium like this. But when the canopy gets up, it's also not fully enclosed yet, which it will be.
Yeah, it's only on the one side.
Right.
Yeah.
And then the canopy will up over top of that. So I feel like the feeling of being in there now, how it is, it's going to be even amplified once they finish closing it off and putting the canopy over it. And there's also, like, the exterior, the outside, whatever, the full facade, that's going up maybe in the winter.
Mm-hmm.
I think you said February might start for that.
Yeah.
And you already get a sense of, as the wind blows and you're on the field, like, you're not feeling wind. Like, it does not.
Yeah, no.
There's not much at all. And that's still, again, just bones of a stadium.
Yeah. Also, getting a look at, there's going to be a patio bar behind the one scoreboard, and it will be outside, and you are overlooking the city, the lake. You see Niagara Falls in the distance. We talked about it and tried to figure it out, but it was a cloudy day. Then maybe on a clear day you could see Toronto, like in the way distance.
Yeah.
But you can at least see Niagara Falls, the city, and then the lake. Like, while drinking, like, having a beer during, like, halftime or before the game or whatever. I thought that was going to be pretty cool.
The standing room only, the amount of places you'll be able to stand if you just want to stand. Because it is interesting. I was thinking about this looking at the stadium. Like, if you, all right, everybody, you've been to a Bills game, right? Picture you are seated on the 50-yard line on one side of the stadium. You're looking across the stands to the other side. You see tons of seats, and there are really no gaps, right? There's the lower section, there's the suites, there's the club, and then there's the club suites, and then there's the upper section. But there's not really any gaps. It's just a wall of seats. And what you'll see in the new one is, I feel like you'll see a lot more of people milling about, because the best way I could describe this is the only way to get views 360 degrees all the way around walking the concourse is to not have seats in the way.
Right.
So that's where people will be standing. That's where, if you're walking to go get something and you stop and pop your head over to watch a play and then head off to the bathroom or whatever, that is a very different architectural thing that in the stadiums in, 50 years ago, they never even thought about doing.
No.
And now that is normal, right? Like, that's pretty standard to be able to walk and see the game from the concourse. The concourses are much, much bigger.
Yeah.
Of course, that's going to be something that I think about a lot.
How much wider they are. Yeah.
Yeah. Room to get around. I mean, wouldn't you say of all the things at the new stadium that are the most difficult to deal with, is not walking the concourse the toughest thing?
Oh, yeah, especially it's a nightmare. You try to go out there at halftime because it's so packed. Like, you can't. You how often do you have to cut through a bathroom line? You have to cut through, like, just to walk through. Cut through a drink line. Just everything is all together at the same time. So this is, I don't know the numbers on it, but it felt like it was twice as wide, at least, just from walking through it.
Finding the little pockets of, like, standing room only, too, was just kind of interesting. Like, you're walking around, and there's, like, big areas you can tell, like, you can just watch the game from there. But then you turn a corner, and, oh, there's this little section that you can just, like, hang out in.
Did you know about the patio bar, by the way, at the field level, at 50-yard line?
Yeah.
We walked down to that, too. I had forgotten that that was going to exist, that there'll be, like, a bar area or, like, a club-level area, like, on the field level, basically. You could, I think it's propped up a little, so you can, like, see over the players.
Yep.
But, like, down at the 50-yard line, super cool. Super cool.
It's just going to be so different. And the big picture view of it is it's a soccer stadium. And I say that in the best way. Yeah. I don't say that in any way about that it means it's miscast. I mean, I've been to a couple of, well, one soccer stadium over in England. I've been to Arsenal in London. And people that have been to see the Bills at Tottenham are going to notice the similarities. Like, it's just, whether it's because it's fully enclosed or it's the canopy that has that curve to it, it looks like a soccer stadium. Yeah. And I think that's fantastic. So, whatever. It was a cool trip. Nice to be in there.
Yeah.
Thinking about the elements, thinking about the snow. This is another thing. When we were there, it was drizzling a little bit. And I think the number's like 65% of the seats will be covered by the canopy. We got down into the lower bowl where you are not covered by the canopy, and there's a little bit of a drizzle falling. The field will not be covered by the canopy. So upper deck, you are tucked in there, and you are just not in the elements at all.
Oh, no, you're basically in a – if you are – hey, if you're team dome – I mean, there is one element, there's one area too up there where you're covered by one level above you and then also the canopy. Like at that point,
you're tucked
in. For that row, you're like almost in a dome.
You might as well be at the carrier dome.
You might as well be, right, exactly. Because you're not dealing with the wind because of the exterior. You're not dealing with what's above you because you actually have two layers above you. And then again, 65% have at least one layer above you. So, I mean, yeah, it would basically be this if you're indoors.
Yep.
Or if you want to be outdoors, you want to be in the elements, you're just closer to the field.
One thing.
That's always been interesting to me, by the way, that closer to the field is in the elements.
Well, that's where the hardcore,
you would see,
the hardcore fans
are. Right, exactly. Like some people are different than others because a lot of people would consider it a benefit to be under it, and that's actually going to be further away, which you would typically think is.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's less expensive, but how it goes.
But the fact that concourses will be, you know, closed, protected from the elements, even if you are, all right, let's go back out and sit outside, you'll be able to get a break.
I did feel like when we were in the concourse that I was like inside.
Yeah.
Which it's almost like a wind tunnel sometimes at the current stadium when you're in those concourses. Sometimes, not always.
803-0550. So, chance to get that. Our thanks to the Bills for bringing us out and taking us through. And of course, like one other thing, shout out to all the people that are there all the time working.
Yeah.
You know, 700 people on site at a time, up to 1,000 some days, 900 the next day, and just the massive undertaking that the whole thing is. It's crazy. Yeah. It's crazy. So, get excited. I don't know. I still don't. Then there's the flip side of it of people ask me, like, hey, how about your ticket? Have you been called in yet? And I have not. Mm-hmm. I think my ticket rep, last I heard, I might get my call for where my ticket is in March.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yep.
So, but we've been through the Bills experience. We've seen all that. But for the actual where my ticket is and what that might mean, I still do not know.
I know they're doing lower bowl though, because I have a buddy who just got called in recently, got his ticket. So I think they're past club level though. I think, and maybe they're still doing club level along the way, but I know they're into at least some people in the lower bowl.
And there's the one, like, I guess field level is what it's another 100 level club, or you walk down into a giant place that's just for you.
Oh, yeah. It's like a club. Like, it's almost like an underground club, it feels like.
It will be. Like, I don't know if I'll ever see it, but it'll be a massive place for people to gather. And, you know, looks like it'll be pretty sharp. So, there you go. 803-0550, our phone number, 1-888-550-2550. Tracking a winter storm warning.
Is it a warning or a watch?
You're right. Sorry, it's a watch.
It's a watch, which I believe...
Yeah, Pat Hammer tweeting moments ago, it's a winter storm watch Friday into the weekend. Areas south of Buffalo, the city can get into some snow on Saturday. Many areas in the watch could see a foot or more through Monday. Now, as I understand it with the Bills and dealing with snow, okay, a foot of snow is going to fall. If you're running the Bills operations and there's a foot of snow going to fall before your game on Sunday Night Football, if that snow falls on Friday morning, you're fine.
Yeah.
Maybe even Saturday morning, it might be fine. If it comes right before people start coming to the game, that might be a problem. It's not all foot of snow might fall is created equally. There are different challenges, and we'll see. We had a caller earlier worried about the Bills not playing well or losing because of the elements, and it's a good thing it's an NFC team. Yeah.
I mean, the Niners also, aren't the Niners going to come in and try to run the football? Isn't that going to be their game plan anyway? Are they usually the team, especially if the quarterback can throw the ball deep, aren't they going to be doing all screens and McCaffrey, and they'll try to get Debo involved, although I guess they could have tried that last week and they didn't. So, yeah, like I'm not saying the Bills are not built for this type of weather if it happens more than they have been in the past. Like I do think they kind of are, but just... I don't know how likely this game or many games are to actually severely affect what you do. Oh, I can't really throw the ball with Josh Allen down the field in this game. Might as well sit Amari Cooper for this game because of what the elements are. Like, I'm just not thinking that that's on the way Sunday or that it's likely to happen by the end of the year. It could happen, but the Niners, yeah, like, they're an NFC team, but they're not the... Would anyone consider them a finesse team, the Niners?
Like, no.
That's not how I think of them.
No, I don't think so.
So I think they're built to play a game like that if that's what ends up happening.
Shanahan's an interesting discussion because if they have a bad year and they miss the playoffs, like you pointed out, he's had a couple bad years mixed in when their quarterback gets hurt.
Yeah.
He's also made the Super Bowl twice.
I know. Right.
With quarterbacks that no one would say are elite. Garoppolo and Purdy. I mean, Purdy's probably the better of the two, but... For a guy that's made the Super Bowl twice,
it's pretty wild. He's done both. He's made the Super Bowl twice, and he has 2 6-win seasons, a 4-win season, and this year he's on his way to what? Maybe 7, 8.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see. Maybe are we taking them too lightly? If Purdy's playing, are they a NFC wild card team? Are they still dangerous? Because like a lot of their other guys are back. McCaffrey is back. Kittle is back on the field. I think Bosa is back on the field. If Purdy's back on the field, then really, the two things we've talked about, they're missing Ayuk and they won't get him back, and Debo Samuel's not the same. And maybe that's the point, right? Is receiver is so important in this league, and if they're number one and number two are one out and two not the same that they once were, then that's going to make a serious impact on their offense. It makes them more reliant on Kittle, honestly.
Yeah.
And he's having a huge season, mostly because he has to.
Right, because with Ayuk gone and Debo, I mean, I don't know about like quite washed for Debo, but just not the same.
Right.
Is McCaffrey, here's the thing about McCaffrey that's interesting. Like, there's a bunch of good data on Jordan Mason being legitimately good.
Yeah, yeah. And McCaffrey was kind of, I know number-wise, he was not good on Sunday against Green Bay.
Like, Mason yards after contact, he's been a good back for them.
Yeah.
And, of course, they have to go back to McCaffrey, and they just... even re-signed him recently.
Well, and Shanahan is very much like he uses a workhorse, right? He's always done that. Whoever, even when Mason was in there, he didn't really rotate until Mason got injured at the end. McCaffrey in 3 games so far has 43 carries for 149 yards. It's 3.5 yards per carry.
Yeah.
That's tough. That's really tough. So, yeah, but like again, like Shanahan's tendency is I've got a starting running back. He's the guy that gets all the snaps. He gets all the touches. He gets all the receptions. Like that's typically how he goes about it. He's weird for me to analyze and to think about, because I do think he's an incredible schematic coach and is a great offensive mind. But there was a criticism of him earlier in the year that I think he got mad about, maybe because someone brought it up to him in a press conference, that he doesn't let Purdy and has never let his quarterbacks do pre-snap checks, not in charge of the offensive line protections, not allowed to audible. Like Shanahan, if there's any criticism I'll ever have of him, is I always wonder if he would want the superstar quarterback versus a guy just like a Purdy or a Garoppolo who is going to do their job and not go out of structure too often unless they have to, because Shanahan, it's his offense, and he doesn't want you to change the play. He wants his play called. Or he'll give you two. That was the thing, is that Shanahan will give you two play calls, but he's not letting you change it from that. If you don't like the two play calls, tough. You got to pick one of them. Hmm. So I don't know how much that impacts him, though, because, again, he's made two Super Bowls, and he's made it work with quarterbacks that aren't that, you know, freakish talent level. Although Purdy is more talented, I think, than I gave him credit for originally.
He's all right. He's pretty good. He did some light throwing yesterday.
Yeah.
That's the report, that he did light throwing yesterday with no issue. Of course, Nick Bosa, Trent Williams, you might even say those are bigger potential losses for the Niners. Neither played last week.
Yeah.
For Trent Williams, it's an ankle issue. For Nick Bosa, it's a hip and an oblique.
Mm-hmm.
So the Niners are missing, you know, so many A-level players. If you miss, how many teams could sustain through starting quarterback?
Mm-hmm.
He's a maybe, but
number one receiver,
best receiver, number one offensive lineman, and number one pass rusher.
Yeah, they're almost nobody probably would be able to overcome that.
Yeah. 803-0550. Cody in Rochester is up. Hey, Cody, good morning.
Good morning, guys. Hey, quick question for you. Since you're talking about the stadium, one of my favorite things about the current stadium is those flyovers are amazing, and those planes can get super low. With the construction of the new stadium and how it's kind of a partial dome, do you think those will even be a thing anymore, or will we see them?
That's a good question.
You'll see them.
Yeah.
You'll definitely see them.
Yeah, there's definitely...
You won't see them coming as much.
There's much less sky to look at.
That's, yeah.
Without a doubt, there will be much less sky to look at.
So when they did what was the big one again a couple weeks ago?
Like the C5?
The C5. I could, from my vantage point where I was sitting for that game, I could see that plane coming like 10 miles away. And I'm assuming, thinking about what we saw yesterday, the overhang and how much of the sky you see, that you probably won't see it coming the same way. You might not see it until it's actually right over the stadium. You'll hear it before you see it.
Yeah.
So that would be different, I guess, but you'll still get flyovers.
It is a good question, though. Thanks, Cody. Yeah, that's the one thing we can't quite visualize yet. I'm sure the Bills in their models can, but standing at midfield looking up, how much sky do you see? Like right now, in the current stadium, you see endless sky. And now, in the new one, that'll be significantly less.
What is the thing you think people are going to enjoy the most? Is it going to be the overhang? Is it going to be the way the stadium is so steep, so everybody is right there?
The thing people are going to enjoy the most is not feeling like they are outside when they are in the bathroom.
Right.
That's how I feel about it.
Uh-huh.
Or the concourses are just slush piles of bleh.
Oh, those places are... they can get vile in the winter. Yeah. Wear muck boots,
yeah.
Basically.
Yeah, I mean...
You still probably would want to wear boots, I'm assuming, but maybe not.
803-0550. When we return, little news and notes around the NFL. Jer and Joe's Knowledge Emporium, where we tell you a little thing from each game this week that you need to know. You don't know you need to know, but you need to know a bunch that happened this week in the NFL. It's coming up next. Seth Appert on the State of the Sabres at 8. Howard picks the Bills, 8:30 here on WGR.